We're going to go to Coors Field and bring in Andy Baggerly, of course, who covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group. Extra Bags with two G's on Twitter. Andy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Marty. I'm good. I'm walking to Coors Field right now, good. And I'm taking a direct route right down 17th and then up Blake Street. I think Hunter Pence told me to take a different route, but that would have had me going in circles. So,
very good. Very good, Extra. That's a good way to start the day. Two games I've watched them. Obviously, you've been there, and I've followed you on Twitter as well. Entertaining to watch, but boy, it really just shows every weakness of the Giants.
Well, you know, everyone bemoaned that they didn't do anything in left field. They didn't go out and get an everyday player, a Cespedes or whoever. That wasn't my concern when we got to spring training. My concern was that the outfield defense in general was going to be bad to maybe perhaps embarrassingly bad. And I think we saw the worst of it yesterday. I mean, that was not a major league defensive outfield. That was, I mean, it was abysmal from every angle. And you can't really fault Austin Slater for positioning himself where he did on a little flare from Charlie Blackman that turns into a triple. Sometimes Coors Field is just going to Coors Field. But Pence, my God, I mean, it seemed like he was really shaken by misjudging that fly ball that Matt Moore gave up yesterday and went over and apologized to Moore after the game. And I think that just shook him and all of his instincts he's questioning now. And he just had a terrible game, probably the worst game by a Giants right fielder since we saw an Aubrey Huff, athletic tape chalk outline in Dodger Stadium that one day. So, and Denard Span obviously is not a plus defensive player anymore. And they're going to have to fix it. It's as obvious as it was that they needed to go get a closer at the end of last season, that they need to fix this outfield and overhaul it and maybe not even assume that Span and Pence are going to be everyday players next season. They might have to go out and get three new outfielders.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we've talked about that, and, we're going to do that on the postgame show today and sort of analyze what you and I talked about during the week, and that is how you deal with players who are making that kind of money. And they're going to be here next year, and obviously you can't have them as full-time players, but that's a subject for one of your columns to try to analyze how they get rid of them or do something. But how about Samardzija last night? And did he just get Coors Fielded last night? Was he on his game? What do you think?
I thought he was on his game. I thought that he was making a lot of good pitches. I mean, the pitch that Desmond hit was a bad mislocation. He wanted to go away, and it ended up right over the plate. And Desmond even got jammed a little bit by it, but it's still a Coors Field home run, and goes the opposite way. And Chris Bochy said it best. You know, were you hoping that wouldn't go out? And he said, "I've spent too much time hoping here, to be honest." But overall, I thought he competed as well as he could. He's down a lot of runs. He still goes out for the seventh. He tries to save the bullpen. You know, get squeezed on LeMahieu, a guy who's 8-for-9 in this series, and they finally make a pitch to get him out, and they don't get the strike call. And, hits the 2-run homer. I thought he competed very well. And that's, there's a lot of things you can fault Jeff Samardzija for, but, he hasn't quit out there. He's definitely doing his best to, try to fight when he's on the mound. I think that he's a guy that you want to build around and keep, and you have to like that spirit.
Andy, what do they do now? 93 games to go, and obviously 17 and a half out, and you've been through baseball many, many, many years. I have as well, even watching it before I got into this racket. But, it's pretty clear where they're going. What do you do for the rest of the season with this team? Just in general, you have to start considering that. What do you do?
You mean for the rest of this year?
Yeah, just for the rest of this year. Do you just play it out the way it is, or is there anything you can do to make it any different?
This is the simplest way that I can put it, the way that I believe. You start a year trying to win a pennant. They're not going to win a pennant. They're 17 and a half out in mid-June. And that means that a lot more has gone wrong than just a bad outfield. I mean, to be 17 and a half out at this point means that you've had some pretty calamitous situations up and down the roster, affecting every part of your team, your rotation, your bullpen, your lineup, your defense. And we've seen it sort of crater everywhere. So I think what they need to do is, if they're not going to compete for a pennant, compete for hearts and compete for minds and compete for those season ticket renewals and compete for, to give your fans a reason to want to renew and come back. And it's a great ballpark experience, but play entertaining games. Even if you come out on the losing end, show some fear, some spirit, some fight. I think we're going to see more young guys up here. I think Austin Slater is showing that he gets a longer look. Maybe we'll see Chris Shaw at some point. Maybe we'll see Ryder Jones at some point. Maybe we'll see Jay Huang at some point. And, you know, those guys, you know, are going to be giving it their all when they come up because they're going to be trying to impress. And, you know, but they still have this core that is not a bad core that, Brandon Crawford, Joe Panic, Brandon Belt. Mm-hmm. Do they look to maybe trade a belt? Mm-hmm. Or, Belt's salary's 2.6 or 2.7 million this year, and it goes up to 16 next year. So mm-hmm. it's not like you're going to fetch anything for him given what he's making. So it really is kind of a conundrum to what they do, but they still have this core that you cannot just jettison. And that's what makes this so difficult as they seek to not rebuild, but retool, because they can't afford to go back to the days when, you know, there were 20,000 fans on the stands, and I don't think they will. But, right now they're competing to show their fans, hey, look, okay, you watch the Warriors, you watch the parade. Now you've got our attention, maybe, and we're going to have to do something to keep that attention.
All right. Well, it's easy to say it, but when you go out there and you're starting pitching, getting knocked around again, and your defense, the UZR rating and the defensive rating in the outfield is just about the worst in baseball. It's hard to, just to compete, in other words, and look better. I like the idea of Jay Huang coming up. They've got to do something with him by July 1st. And, Andy, my thought was they paid him $3 million to come here. They can't let him walk away because someone may grab him after July 1st. I would think we're going to see him pretty soon.
Well, I mean, they can always talk to him and talk to his agent and say, look, we have every intention. We can pledge to you. We're going to bring you up, but we've got to play Eduardo Nunez. We've got to showcase him.
Okay.
We're going to trade him. Once we do that, we guarantee that we'll have you up here before July 31st. And maybe, he doesn't use his opt-out because, they sort of make that appeal to him. And he's pretty pleased with how he's been treated by the organization, I think, and how upfront they've been with him. So maybe you buy yourself a little extra time, but you got to get the player and his agent to agree to that. And there's no, there's no guarantee of that. So, I don't think they're going to let him get away without giving him a look. And whether that is, coming soon or before July 1st or a little later kind of remains to be seen.
All right. Good answer. That goes along the lines of what we're talking about. Here's another one along the same lines, and we'll let you get going. Andy Baggerly with us. A pleasure to have you on, Andy, as always. We appreciate the time. Matt Cain goes today. And look, we know the road splits, the home splits. We know his contract, everything in the world about him. And you know where the Giants are in the standings. Why run him out there every game, every start? Why give him 20 more starts or whatever it may be? Why not bring up a young pitcher to put in the rotation? Well, why are they clinging to Matt Cain?
Well, I think it's a respect factor, and that won't last. We saw them put him in the bullpen last year. We saw them put Jake Peavy in the bullpen last year when they weren't getting it done. And so, the road thing is really significant both for him, for Matt Moore. Ty Block has obviously had a couple rough ones on the road. But overall, I think that we'll see a Juan Gregorio up here probably pretty soon if Cain continues to struggle, and they'll shift 100% into looking to the future mode, which I think they probably should. But there's a lot of respect there, and you don't just dump a guy for all he's accomplished. They would love to tie a nice bow on Matt Cain's Giants career, and they weren't really able to do it with Tim Lincecum. He had the two no-hitters late in his Giants tenure, but it was a real struggle for him at the end. It's so rare, to get that bow and take that David Ortiz tour, mm-hmm. And go out on top. This is a cruel game. No matter how much success you've had, you're ready to be humbled. I think Tim Flannery says it best. He said it's not a matter of, if you'll get humbled, but when. So I think that everyone's rooting for a nice resolution. It's just one of many things that we can look at down the stretch in this season that are going to be interesting to watch and that you can root for or pull for, even though there's not a lot of hope of contending at this point.
All right. Well, that's a valid point, but it will happen sooner than later, I think, with him. 2,030 innings as a San Francisco Giant for Matt Cain. Can the Rockies survive? Hoffman, Sensatella, Freeland today, Chatwood tomorrow. And the weather is hot and crazy games. The bullpen, they're going to run Greg Holland into the ground. I see that coming. Can this team survive?
Well, you know, you read off those names in the rotation. You think those are not household names, but they're pitching well enough. They're pitching well enough at Coors. And to me, the big difference is their bullpen is so much better. I mean, Holland has just blown the one save. And, you know, they've got Ottavino, who's a guy who could be a closer. And then when they get John Gray and some of these other guys back, you know, maybe you can shift some of these Freelands or some of these other arms into long relief. And they can, you know, use some of those guys to patch those sixth, seventh innings, which you so often need because starters just cannot go so deep here.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how I think the Rockies have to handle this pitching issue they've had ever since they really have had their inception as a franchise. Is, you know, sometimes it's quantity and not quality. And if you have that, you know, hammer at the end of a game that can keep those, you know, keep you on the right side of these 10-9 games, which they have been the last 2 days, that's a big deal. And the fact that they're winning on the road and hitting on the road, I think, is a sign that they're pretty sustainable, too. And, you know, even when they were struggling the last couple of years, they caught the ball. And they had athleticism. You know, it's a different game if Trevor Story doesn't go out in shallow left field and catch Denard Span's little bloop in the early innings 2 days ago. So, you know, in this ballpark, you've got to be able to make plays, and you can't give away outs, and sometimes you got to steal outs. And we've seen one team that's been able to do that, and one team that has been woefully inequipped to do that in these two games here.
Yeah, we've seen people having career years, and that's what you look for. But, boy, I'll tell you, I feel for you. I wish I was there. The games are very entertaining, but if I'm a Rockies fan and I got 3 months of Coors Field and all that coming up, it's going to be a challenge to get that bullpen through it because they need them every day. But we'll see. Hey, I appreciate it. I know you run into the ballpark, and thanks for taking the time, and we'll follow you on Twitter at Extra Bags. And I hear you on Matt Cain. It's just a matter of time and to do it respectfully.
Yep, I agree. And you know, we'll see what he does today. And Barry Zito threw a shutout here, so you never know what can happen.
Well, someone once said that in one word, you never know. Joaquin Andujar.
Okay. There you go.
Andy, thanks again. Thanks so much. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Marty.
All right, very good. That is Andy Baggerly. Extra Bags on Twitter.